who go to school there have no trouble saying Miklungut Litnaohvet. Even the kids who don't speak Yupik as their primary language can say it. Their parents might not be able to. They refer to it as little kid school. That acknowledgement of Alaska Native history should be there, if not in statute. In this reference, I mean, you know, certainly it's a suggestion to the State Geographic Board that they shall consider using Alaska Native places and names. Now, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It doesn't say that they will use those names exclusively. Certainly, if the gentleman from Kalifornsky wants to name a lake after his mother-in-law behind his house, that's fine. If there is no outstanding feature to one of those little lakes that he wants to name after his mother-in-law, that's found by the Kenai seniors, that's fine. You know, he can name it Kalifornsky Lake or whatever else he wants. I think that as a matter of policy, the state should say, yes, we do recognize that other native peoples or other cultures exist in the state of Alaska, and yes, we will consider the use of those languages and names for places and features in the state. I think it's a good policy, and I oppose the amendment.
So I think, Mr. Speaker, I think one of the problems is that of the eight people on the geographic board, six are from Juneau, two are from Anchorage. With the exception of a former governor and one other person, they're all bureaucrats. I think that we're sort of approaching this from the wrong angle. I think that either way you do this, it's permissive. I think that I probably, just on the merits, end up supporting the amendment because it does add an extra burden the way it's written right now. But I think that either way it's written, the board will consider using native names. And when we get down to the bill, I'd like to have somebody explain which writing systems are acceptable to the Alaska Native Language Center in Fairbanks. I'm not sure what that means, but I guess that really doesn't have much to do with this amendment. But I think that we should have, in addition to this, and maybe it's not too late, but added a requirement for some regional representation on the State Geographic Board. I think that might have really been the most expeditious way to approach this problem.
Representative Miller.
Yeah. Mr. Speaker, frequently when we're being criticized by people outside, we say that here in Alaska, we get to learn by the mistakes of the other places, and we're going to do the job right, and then very frequently turn around and do it exactly the same way so many other places have done. One of the things that so many states have done all across the nation, Mr. Speaker, and there are a couple of exceptions, fortunately, is that they've just washed away their ethnic cultural heritage. Mr. Speaker, Alaska, because it not only has a rich native cultural heritage, it has many rich native cultural histories. We have an opportunity that no other state has, and I think one of the obligations of having that opportunity is that we at least consider in the place names using native names. Now, of course, the place that comes to mind best, that's done this best, and probably has the most tongue-twisting names of all, is Hawaii. They've done a magnificent job of representing their ethnic native culture in the names that they have retained for everything from mountains to new shopping malls. It's just really great, and everybody, from visitors to residents to the native peoples themselves, appreciate it. And I think this is just absolutely a minimum that we mandate that these native place names be considered. It's been pointed out before, it doesn't mandate that the native names will be the ones used, but when you've got a history as rich as ours, I think it's just obligatory that at the bare minimum we at least consider using the names that were here before most of us in this room arrived, or for that matter even our parents or grandparents.
Representative Herbert.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just would like to say that I wholeheartedly concur with the last speaker, and that I think even it's still a permissive language here, that it's kind of sending a message that all that they should at least consider it, and I wholeheartedly oppose this amendment.
Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In answer to the question by the Democratic representative from Eagle River, the writing systems developed by the University of Alaska, Alaska Native Language Center does offer sometimes varying writing systems than what already exist. If you go through the history of the attempts by Westerners to write the Alaska Native languages, you'll find a whole variety of them. The best example I can use are those found in my area using the Yupik language. If a Catholic priest happened to be traveling through the area documenting the languages, the writing system is basically using Latin, trying to write out the Yupik language using Latin as a base. The Russian Orthodox Church, on the other hand, uses Russian as a basis for that. And it's very interesting to look at the comparison in how different sounds are used using either Russian as a base or Latin as a base. On the other hand, if you look at the Moravians, they have a Swedish or German language base. When they try to write the Yupik language using that base, it comes out very differently. If you look at the early English usage, it's based on English per se, so that you have four different writing systems. However, if you look at the written system from the Yupik, it's very different. It's limited to the extent that it's transferring of messages in a written form or in a form not used vocally. It's very different. The form used by the University of Alaska, Alaska Native Language Center, is based fairly closely to linguistics. It's based for the language that's the orthography that's being used at the present time for Yupik uses only 18 of the 26 symbols that you know as the English language. There are variations to enunciate the different sounds that are not shown by the languages. For instance, a double L doesn't come out L, or it doesn't come out like the Spanish E. It comes out, which is very different. Someone who learns that language understands that that specific sound is being written with two L's. There are different rules, just as English has, for trying to make it clear. That system is considerably easier to learn than it is using the English base, the German base, or the Russian base in learning the language. If once you get the basics down, then that written system is much easier to use. And I think even non-speakers of the language can learn to use and enunciate or pronounce the language. And I think it's a much better system, and I think it also provides a consistent system. The other thing that the Alaska Native Language Center at the University of Alaska does is it does not forget what other writing systems have been attempted to document the Alaska Native languages, so that is not lost. So you still have a book written by Father Fernando, somebody or another, who came from Spain, who had a extensive background in Greek and Latin, and he uses that. Okay, that's being documented in the history book somewhere. Okay, the present form is adaptable and it works well. And I recommend we vote against this amendment.
Representative Fanning.
Just quickly, Mr. Speaker, I thank the previous speaker from Bethel, both on this occasion and the previous occasion, even though I think he's going to vote against the amendment, for explaining the necessity of the amendment. It's obvious if there are four different bases for Yupik language alone, and we all know that those who speak and write Yupik don't necessarily speak and write Tlingit, that there is a great difficulty in applying that language. And the word, although I certainly will not be able to pronounce it correctly, if members will look at their topographic maps, again, of the area around Kenai, and try to imagine words like Miklanutuklaknavik on all those little lakes that are currently named Bear Creek and Otter Creek and Bear Lake and Sheep Lake and Fish Lake, we'll see that there is simply not enough room on that map to put those names. And I would keep in mind that, and I would agree, concur at least with the sentiment of the representative from Juneau, that it's important to name certain geographic features in this state after certain native heritages. And I think we've done that, and we will continue to do that as the board does. But I think we should keep in mind that the major usage of this type of topographic maps, which are used all over the state, are for communication, people who are looking to go someplace. And if I had to write notes to pilots to pick me up at different places that neither I nor the pilot could spell or understand, and couldn't fit on a map, it would be very, very difficult indeed. And so I really think that we need to keep in mind the logistics of why we use maps and why we name places. And those that are important to name after our heritage, I think we can and we will. But I don't think we should be mandated to consider that every little place in Alaska be named after an Alaska Native place name. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 1 to the State Affairs Committee substitute for Senate Bill 727? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 13 yeas, 22 nays.
House has failed to adopt Amendment Number 1. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment Number 2 by Representative Fanning. Page 1, line 12. Following the words place names, delete the remainder of the section and insert in its place. I believe this has been distributed to all members.
This should be on every member's desk. Representative Fanning.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for adoption of the amendment.
Is there objection? Hearing none, of the amendment is adopted. Better be quick. There is objection, Representative Fanning.
That is, I must admit that's hard to believe, Mr. Speaker, but the of course the other amendment simply suggests that you should, the Geographic Board should continue to do their current practice, and that is to consider geographical features and climate, historical names, Alaskan wildlife, commemorative names, and appropriate expressions, descriptive Alaskan attitude, as they currently do in naming geographic features in the state that have not been previously named. Mr. Speaker, I have with me an application for the Alaska State Geographic Names Board that is used whenever somebody proposes a name, and pretty much those are exactly the things that are used today. There are, in fact, places for commemorative names. The representative from Kalifonsky may be disenchanted to know that in order to have some place named after him, he will have to be dead first for a year, but we do have commemorative names, local usage names, descriptive names, and as I think the members can see from the little sheet that was passed out, you know, there are a lot of different types of names in Alaska that are for very specific reasons, navigation reasons, for example, particularly down here in the coast, and False Pass, for example, on the Aleutians, and other places like Cape Fairweather and Granite Cape, Hawk Inlet, Cape Decision, Devil's Thumb, a lot of very unique reasons that you name places, Mr. Speaker, that can be of assistance to navigators, can be of assistance to people who are interested in historical events such as the mining of the area and hard luck creeks and things of that along that nature, lakes that are named after specific and unique types of ducks, for example, Harlequin ducks, and that gives an indication as to where to go to look for those unique species. And so all the amendment does, Mr. Speaker, that says in addition to considering Alaska Native place names, there would be consideration for these other names when in fact naming various places in Alaska.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, I see one clear advantage of this amendment over the original bill. The original bill says that the board shall consider using names written in the native language systems. This one says if they choose an Alaska Native place name, they shall use the native writing system. Under the unamended bill, as I read it, they're supposed to consider doing it in the native language writing systems, but they may not. This amendment, while it does add a whole bunch of other things there to consider, it does require the use of a native language writing system. I do think that is preferable to the bill unamended.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Miller.
Speaker, I think we're spending more time here on this legislation than maybe the Geographic Names Board will themselves spend. But, Mr. Speaker, I have the feeling that if the wheel isn't squeaking, you don't need to oil it. And I don't know that there's been any anybody that's felt that there hasn't been consideration given of Alaska wildlife names or historical names or commemorative names or appropriate expressions descriptive in Alaska attitude. I think there has been a feeling in the past, and I think I feel that way too, that there has not been enough attention given to Alaska Native names. And that, that wheel having squeaked, and I'm one of those that's doing the squeaking, I think we ought to oil it, and I think we just did. But, Mr. Speaker, I think one pill's fine, but 15 pills is probably 15 times more than you need. And I think by plugging in all the rest of this verbiage, I think all we're really doing is confusing the issue and probably trying to kill the bill with kindness confuse it. And although we can't talk about the other body or the sponsor of it, I would assume that this would not be acceptable. I think we'll end up spending an awful lot more time with this legislation than we need or should. I would suggest that we'd be better off just defeating this amendment and getting down to the basic bill. And if we like the idea, vote for it. If we don't like the idea, vote against it.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 2 to the State Affairs Committee substitute for Senate Bill 727? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 14 yeas, 21 nays.
House has failed to adopt Amendment Number 2. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment Number 3 by Representative Rogers to page 1, line 16. Add new star sec 2. AS 1910-085 is repealed. Renumber existing star sec 2 as star sec 3.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, this one had to do with hot naming of highways to repeal that, but rather than clutter up the bill, I'd withdraw the amendment.
Without objection, the amendment is withdrawn. Representative Cotton, will the House please stand? Please come back to order. During the at ease, Amendment Number 5 was placed on the clerk's desk, which is an amendment to the title. Will the clerk please read the amendment and then read the title as it would be constructed after the amendment?
Amendment Number 5 by Representative Rogers, page 1, line 6, delete duties of the. So it would read, an act relating to the State Geographic Board and providing for an effective date.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the amendment is adopted. Is there further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the State Affairs Committee substitute for Senate Bill 727, amended House, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 29 yeas, 5 nays.
State Affairs Committee substitute for Senate Bill 727, amended House, has passed the House. Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent to roll call and final passage of State Affairs Committee substitute for Senate Bill 727, amended House, be considered the roll call and the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 732, financed by the Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Mineral Extraction from State Land and Providing for an Effective Date. The Resources Committee had the bill under consideration. Committee recommended be replaced with Resources House Committee substitute and that it do pass. Also attached a letter of intent. The report was signed by Representative Fanning, Chairman, concurred in by Sutcliffe, Halford, Grusendorf, and Carney. Finance Committee had the bill under consideration, recommended replaced with the Resources House Committee substitute and that do pass with a Resources letter of intent. The do pass was signed by Representative Adams, Chairman, had no recommendation. Meekins, no recommendation. The do pass was signed by Hagen, Bettysworth, Hurlburt, Cotton, Chuckluck, Fuller, and Montgomery. Rules Committee had the bill under consideration. Committee recommended replace with Rules House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 732 and recommended do pass They approved the two letters of intent by Resources dated April 16th and the one by the Senate dated April 5th. The due pass was signed by Representative Fuller, Chairman, concurred in by O'Connell and Phillips. Smith had no recommendation.
Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House Rules Committee substitute be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House Rules Committee substitute is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Are there amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Rules Committee substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 732 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed in final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 732. By the Rules Committee entitled, An Act Relating to Mineral Extraction from State Land and Providing for an Effective Date.
Is there debate? Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, I probably should have asked this under second reading, but there was a section taken out of the Senate bill on offshore prospecting permits or leases for minerals, and I wonder if I could get an explanation of why that was taken out in the out of the Senate version in either Resources or Rules.
Someone answer the Representative Rogers' question, please. Representative Fanning.
Mr. Speaker, I'm not sure which section he's referring to. There still is, of course, a section in reference to offshore prospecting, and what we do in this section is, for the first time, limit the amount of offshore prospecting to certain acreages, which is currently not the case. And currently, we have such a backlog that we're unable to process those permits. And this legislation limits the size of the permits, the acreage size that can be held in aggregate, which one, helps us administratively, and two, helps preclude speculation in offshore permitting. So I'm not sure what if that answers the question or not.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, the Rules Committee, Resources Committee substitute had that section on offshore prospecting permits. The Rules Committee substitute eliminates the amendment to AS 3805-140. I guess that was an amendment done in the Rules Committee. Is there a reason that section? It apparently the Rules Committee substitute continues it on minerals on state land and leases and prospecting, but not on offshore prospecting permits or leases for minerals. The amendment to 3805-140 is deleted in the Rules Committee substitute.
Representative Fanning.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, my comments were in reference to the Titan submerged lands, and I would ask for an at ease and didn't find the answer there.
Will the House please stand at ease? Representative Fanning.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. During the 80s, we were able to find out that in the Resource Committee version, that language was simply in the wrong place in the statutes, and it still is covered in the Rules Committee version, but it's just in the proper place at this time.
Are you ready for the question? Question is...
Mr. Speaker.
Excuse me, Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We did have an explanation of some change in the Rules Committee substitute. We have a general explanation of the bill, please.
Representative Fanning.
The bill is basically two sections, Mr. Speaker. Starting on the first page down through halfway through the second page is basically a solution to the 6I problem that I think all of us are pretty well familiar with, and that's the purpose and finding section here explains what that does and what that solves. The second section of the bill, as we alluded to, is the solution to the oil and gas offshore prospecting permits. And so that's the two basic sections of the bill. Originally, it started out as one bill that dealt just with the 6I problem. And the way that we solve that 6I problem is providing that an application of production license has to be filed with the commissioner whenever a locator of a mining claim or a lessee of a mining location is prepared to produce minerals for sale in commercial quantities. So that does not detrimentally affect those who have existing claims in the state, and at the same time brings the state in compliance with the Statehood Act.
Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, I have a question on the purpose clause. The second sentence there, or third one, starting on line 13, says the legislature finds that the requirement is consistent with the Constitution, and then it says it believes that it satisfies the requirement of 6I. And I wonder why there's a distinction between the finding and the belief. It sort of raises my question of mind whether we aren't make why we don't make a finding on six on the 6I requirement. I think that would be stronger than just saying we believe it is.
Representative Fanning.
Mr. Speaker, I had that same question myself, since this legislature has in the past found whatever it wanted to and has the ability to make any kind of finding that it wants to. The AG's office, the Department of Law, fully believes that this does in fact satisfy the requirements of 6I, and it was their recommendation, their suggestion that the language be this way. I would agree that we certainly could say that it does, but if in fact in law and in history and in various litigatory processes that take place, it doesn't, why, that would hold. But I think in the finding section, the only reason that we have the word believes that is that was the recommendation of the Department of Law, and the Department of Law fully worked on this language and feels that it, and it's their legal opinion, that this does satisfy the requirements of Section 6I.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House Rules Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 732 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 36 yeas, no nays.
House Rules Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 732 has passed the House. Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent to final roll call on the roll call on final passage of House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 732 be considered the roll call and effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. There are letters of intent. Representative Hofford, do you wish to move those?
Mr. Speaker, we have two letters of intent. One was a Senate letter of intent, and one is the House Resources Committee letter of intent. At this time, I move that both letters of intent be considered House letters of intent and ask unanimous consent.
That they be adopted?
They be adopted.
Will the clerk please read the letters of intent?
The letter of intent by the Senate, the requirements of in AS 3805250C as amended by Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 732 Finance, that the Commissioner shall automatically extend producing submerged land leases, also allows the Commissioner the discretion by regulation to provide for extension of a lease if the leasee satisfactorily demonstrates diligent development of the lease. The Senate Finance Committee's deletion of language concerning the mining license tax, AS 4365 in Section 2 of the bill, occurred at the request of the Department of Revenue. It is the committee's intent that the Department of Revenue undertake a technical analysis of the administration of the existing mining license tax, and that this project shall not address issues beyond the scope of that analysis. The Resources Committee letter of intent, signed by Representative Fanning, co-chairman. The committee contemplates that the production license will be used solely for the purpose of complying with the requirement of the statute. The license should not be used to impose other restrictions, conditions, or fees. Any stipulation not absolutely essential to the implementation of this statute may only be required if necessitated by other applicable law. The committee does not contemplate that enactment of this statute will require the Department of Natural Resources to determine the validity of mining claims. In other words, the department should not challenge claims for failure to have made a valuable discovery on the grounds that to do so is necessary to assure compliance with this statute. The sworn intent of the locator to commence production is sufficient evidence for the purpose of this statute that a valuable discovery has been made. This act should not be interpreted to preclude the department from determining, as it now does, that a claim is in good standing. Thus, the department may continue to check affidavits of annual labor land status, and other conditions which are necessary to maintain a claim under otherwise applicable law. The committee does not intend that the Department of Natural Resources will become involved in difficult and protracted conflicts between mining claimants. However, the commissioner is vested with some discretion to adjudicate minor conflicts which do not involve complicated factual or legal issues. This authority should help reduce legal costs and avoid lengthy litigation where any minor conflict exists. It is contemplated that the commissioner's discretion will be used sparingly and that the vast majority of conflicts will be resolved outside of the administrative process. Signed, Ken Fanning, Co-Chairman, Resources Committee.
Is there objection to the adoption of the two letters of intent? Hearing none, the letters of intent. There is objection. Representative Malone, you wish to debate it?
Well, as a first of all, a question, I guess through the chair to the committee chairman, is that in the letter of intent, or the last one read, is that the committee contemplates the production license will be used solely for the purpose of complying with the requirements of the statute. The license should not be used to impose other restrictions, conditions, or fees. Any stipulation not absolutely essential to the implementation of the statute may only be required and necessitated by other applicable law. Question through the chair is, what are the restrictions, conditions, fees, or stipulations that the committee is intending to rule out by the letter of intent?
Representative Fanning?
There, Mr. Speaker, in answer, I think, to the question is that obviously the committee does not know, but the committee did not intend to authorize the department to have latitude to come up with any other types of requirements or stipulations other than what those that which are specified in the statute. And the and I might submit that the department was very much in favor of this also, that administratively in the future they did not want to leave any impression that this statute was designed to come up with additional stipulations to be placed on those production permits.
Is the objection maintained to the adoption of the letters of intent? Representative Malone?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Then the language, through the chair, Mr. Speaker, the language that appears in the letter is aimed at no known or prospective restriction, condition, fee, or stipulation. Is that correct?
Representative Fanning?
Yeah, that's correct.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I remove my objection.
Is there further objection? Hearing none, the two letters of intent are adopted. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 796, Finance amended by the Finance Committee, entitled An Act Providing for the Management of State-Owned Land in the Haines Area, Establishing the Alaska Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve and the Haines State Forest Resource Management Area, and providing for an effective date. The Resources Committee had the bill under consideration and recommended replace with Resources House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 796 with the same title, and reported it back as follows. Fanning, Chairman, Barnes, and Carney, signed no recommendation. Sutcliffe, signed, do pass.
Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House Resources Committee substitute be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House Resources Committee substitute is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, under second reading, I had a question for potential amendment. On page 2, beginning on line 15, it states that the legislature determines there's no need for any future legislation on this issue in the future. And, Mr. Speaker, I'm just wondering if the committee is so sure that every one of these land descriptions is correct, and is so sure that we're never going to want to change the management on any square foot of the Alaska Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve, that the committee felt comfortable with saying that there is no need for legislation expanding or contracting the boundary in the future. And I'm wondering if the committee thinks we should try to bind future legislatures in this manner on other bills.
Representative Fanning?
Mr. Speaker, that that language, of course, is the language of the sponsors of the legislation, and I for one can't speak for the whole committee, but I think the intent was that there have been an awful lot of people, everybody involved in the entire community of Haines, every possible user group and non-user group involved for about 18 months in hacking out and coming up with these boundaries and the provisions in this legislation, and it's received extensive hearing and modification both in the other body and then in the final moments in this body. And so I think that what that probably intends to say, obviously we do not have the authority to bind a future legislature and cannot, but I think what it intends to say is that that everybody worked long and hard on this and don't make any quick little changes.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, maybe I overlooked it here, but somewhere in the bill, but does anyone know exactly how many acres of land we're talking about?
Representative Baboud.
Mr. Speaker, I think you'll find on page 2, around over 640 acres, exceed 640 acres.
What line, Representative?
Page 2, line 20.
Representative Rogers?
Mr. Speaker, so now we know that it's over 640 and less than the size of the state of Alaska.
Representative Freeman?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to repeat my question. How many acres of land are we talking about?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Fanning?
Yeah, the Eagle Preserve itself, Mr. Speaker, is 47,432 acres, and the forest involved is larger and different than that, and I would be glad to get that specific acreage figure. I do not have it at hand at this moment.
Representative Hofford?
Yeah, that's about 55,000.
55,000 for the forest and 47,000 for the Eagles. Representative Freeman?
What I'm really interested in, Mr. Chairman, and I'll try, Mr. Speaker, I'll try one more time. What I really want to know is how many acres of state land are we talking about tying up in the Eagle Park?
Can someone answer the representative from Ketchikan's question? Representative Fanning?
Mr. Speaker, we'll have to take it at ease on that. I know that there is much of the land that's in the forest that's the state has selected that the state has not yet received title to, and there's some that the state intends to, but I'm not certain how many acres of state land are in the actual preserve, and I'd be glad to find that out if you have taken it.
Representative Hofford, do you have the answer?
Yeah, I think that's 47,000.
47,000 acres of state land. Representative Freeman, is that adequate?
Depending on how I look at it, sir, may I have the floor?
You have the floor, sir.
Mr. Speaker, this is one of the problems that I see. There's another bill coming over from the other body very shortly, has to do with parks. And as some of you may know, I have spent quite a bit of time in the past concerning myself with land and land disposal and state land available and so forth. Mr. Speaker, just to call the attention to the body, if they haven't given it some thought, but in the state of Alaska, within that part of the state of Alaska that's involved with the two national forests, the Chugach and the Tongass, under the Statehood Act, the state was allowed to select up to, I think, 104 million acres of unreserved, unappropriated lands. It's an entitlement of statehood. And in addition to that, in the Statehood Act, there is a section called Section 6A that says, in addition to the 104 million acres herein granted, the state's entitled to select an additional 400,000 acres from the National Forest of the State of Alaska for the purpose of establishing new communities, expanding existing communities, and recreation. And 400,000 acres sounds like a lot of land, Mr. Speaker, but if you take a long view of it, in all of southeastern Alaska, which comprises the Tongass National Forest, we have the communities, Juneau, Sitka, Petersburg, Wrangell, so forth. They're little enclaves within the National Forest. They're just small, tiny areas in the millions of acres in the southeast Alaska, and to a certain extent, as far as the Chugach is concerned. That 400,000 acres, Mr. Speaker, comprises all of the land that Alaska residents will ever have to live on from here to eternity within the boundaries of the national forest of the state. And I've objected very strongly in the past, and I still do protest, using that land to set up parks. I have nothing against parks, but if the national forest, if they're going to reserve that, the federal government's going to reserve that land and not let human beings live on it, in some cases not use it, but in most cases they can use it, I say that it's wise for us to keep our land, our state's entitlement for human habitation, and use the federal government's land for parks and recreation. And if you will take the time, you see, the state has, the executive branch of our government has made the determination that they're going to split this 400,000 acres in this manner, 250,000 for the Tongass National Forest, out of the Tongass, and 150 out of the Chugach. That means that in entire part of Alaska, that's southeast Alaska, the 250,000 acres is all we're going to ever have from here on. And I have no quarrel with the Eagles, but damn it, they're not entitled to 47,000 acres of land when a human being can hardly find a place to live. It's a waste. It's short-sighted, and that, of course, being short-sighted around in this place is nothing new. But it is short-sighted because it doesn't pay any attention to what's going to happen to us somewhere down the line. Somewhere in the future, we're in southeastern Alaska, the people who live in southeastern Alaska, and that particular point in time are going to run up against the boundaries. There's just not going to be any place to live. And I don't think that's very far-sighted. I don't think it's good management. There's surely some other way to take care of the Eagles than giving them 47,000 acres of land. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Halford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to go through the numbers on this thing, there's 47,400 acres in the Eagle Preserve. It's mostly the river flats in the bottom. It's surrounded by state land, of which you got about 400,000 more acres, about 55,000 of that is forest. But the problem is they've been fighting back and forth between Eagles and the city of Haines and doing anything with the rest of that land for quite some time. This is a compromise that seems to allow the rest of the land to be developed and to be utilized. It's strongly supported by the people of Haines, and I think it's also got the support, of course, of the Friends of the Eagles. So I don't know that it's the best possible compromise. It's a compromise that is supported by the people most directly involved, however.
Representative Fanning.
Mr. Speaker, relative specifically to the representative from Ketchikan's concern, I would point out that the state land selections that are in the Eagle Preserve, the 47,000, are not from the 400,000 acres that the state was entitled to select from National Forest land. That is state selections that were made on Bureau of Land Management land, BLM land.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, the majority leader said this does solve, take care of all the problems of the people most directly involved. Does that include, and were the people of Klukwan involved from the onset?
Representative Fanning.
Mr. Speaker, the people of Klukwan were involved from the onset. They're naturally, as anybody familiar with this in the last 2 months realizes that in the last 2 months, the people of Klukwan changed their position considerably, and as a result of that change in position, introduced, if my memory serves me right, something like 9 amendments in the Senate Resource Committee, 6 of which were adopted, and 32 amendments in the Senate Finance Committee. 18 of which were adopted, and an additional 2 in the House Resource Committee. So it is not safe to say that the residents of Klukwan agree with this legislation. I think that at least it was my determination from the statements and the testimony from those representing Klukwan that they would be opposed to any settlement whatsoever, any additional land classification, because they very strongly feel and are searching old native claim settlements, and they would like to have considerable additional acreage, and any classification such as this would stand in that way. I need to say, Mr. Speaker, at this point in time that I too felt that there that everybody closely involved in this did have more than adequate opportunity to work on it. We're told that the fiscal impact is zero. The amendments that we had in the Resource Committee did, in fact, remove even the per diem and travel pay for the advisory committees that are set up to help orchestrate future plans. But I personally am philosophically opposed to this legislation, and I'm going to vote against the legislation. However, I would submit to anybody who has questions about it that at the moment there's a land freeze on that is stopping absolutely everything, including protection of the eagles, logging, mining, homesteading, the city of Haines to carry out its selections and its proper expansions. And while that could be raised by administrative order, the current administration has no intention to do that. And the only immediate solution that I can see is through legislation like this, for those who agree.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, I don't want to belabor this. I have a feeling it's a grease pig and it'll go. But it seems strange to me when the former speaker made the statement that there was no fiscal implications here. It is an appropriation of land. As I recall, the Supreme Court ruled that when you start moving land, that was an appropriation. And I do quarrel with the statement that there was no fiscal application.
Are you ready for the question?
Point of order.
State your point, Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, I don't believe we have a question before us.
I believe you're correct. I'm glad you brought that to my attention. Byrne, would you like the floor?
If I may, please, Mr. Speaker. First, I'd like to associate myself with the remarks of the great landman from Ketchikan. And then I'd like to remind the body, too, that we are approaching something like 5 million acres in parks now of state land. That's 5 million acres of state land that's in parks, and we only have about 1 million acres of state land in private ownership. So the ratio is 5 acres of parks for every 1 acre of land in private ownership for state land. That has nothing to do with federally owned land. I don't, and it just seems now, this is the first that I've seen this bill, really. I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it or hasn't been through any committees I've been on. So I haven't heard any discussions on it, but here we are, pumping tens of thousands of acres. I'm not even sure how many acres are involved here. Nobody's really given a clear answer on that yet. But it could be 100,000 acres of land, from what I hear. And we're going to, just like that, throw that into parks. And yet, last year the legislature said we can't put 100,000 acres of land into private ownership. And we never have. In the 8 years of the present administration, we've scarcely put 100,000 acres of land into private ownership. I don't know why we're so wrapped up in bald eagles. That's probably why they're bald. But I would say let's vote no on this and forget it. I mean, the compromises that are made up there in Haines and so forth under coercion are not reasonable ones. They're under duress. They don't have the cooperation of the administration. They don't have the cooperation of all these environmental clubs. So if we just vote no on this bill and kill it, I think we're a lot better off.
Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I too have a lot of questions about this particular bill. I mean, I've gotten a lot of correspondence in regards to this bill. I know a lot of people have put a lot of time and effort into it, and I know that the intent of the multiple use sections is supposed to reflect that there are a lot of different interests and uses for that particular piece of land. But in response to the previous speaker, I disagree with you that less than 1 million acres of land in the state has been given to Alaskan residents for private use. I submit that over 45 million acres of private land have been given to Alaskan residents. The remainder that you speak of, 5 million acres of state lands for parks, is, I think, meager compared to the amount of land in this country. In regards to the protection of certain lands for eagles, if you read the bill closely, it's a multiple use category, and it's not just specifically for eagles. Unfortunately, in this country and the world, people are prolific, and people replace habitat that need to be protected for eagles. So I am in favor of this bill, but I don't know that all the problems have been ironed out, and I intend to reconsider my vote on this piece of legislation to look at it more closely, because it's my understanding that not all of the problems have been solved or have been ironed out, but maybe this is the best we can do for the time being. And I urge members to vote for this bill.
We have before us the House Resources Committee substitute and second reading. Does the clerk have any amendments on her desk?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Fanning.
Mr. Speaker, we have a brief at ease.
House, please stand at ease. Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Resources Committee substitute for committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 796 be considered engrossed, advanced third reading, placed in final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Committee substitute for committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 796, entitled An Act Providing for the Management of State-Owned Land in the Haines Area, Establishing the Alaska Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve and the Haines State Forest Resource Management Area, and providing for an effective date.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall the House Resources Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 796 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Representative Hurlburt? Representative Hurlburt from yes to no. Clerk may take the roll.
Roll shows 20 yeas, 8 nays.
House Resources Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 796 has failed to pass the House. Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to give notice of reconsideration of my vote on Senate Bill 796.
Notice of reconsideration has been given by Representative Vasca on Senate Bill 796. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar? The House, please stand at ease. I'll rule that out of order. Will the House please come back to order? I just wanted to make an announcement. Just pointed out during the at ease that there were not 30 people on the floor when the motion was made to advance from second to third reading. So I'm going to rule the vote on the final passage of Senate Bill 796 out of order. Representative Moss.
I call the House on the bill, Mr. Speaker.
Call the House has been placed on the bill. The House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? No, I ruled it out of order. Without objection, while we're waiting to satisfy the call on the House on Senate Bill 796, we can move on down the calendar to the next item on today's calendar. Representative Montgomery.
Mr. Speaker, could we revert to introduction of guests, please?
Without objection, we revert to introduction of guests. Yes, Representative Montgomery.
From Anchorage, a friend of many of ours in Gallery B, Carolyn Doggett. Carolyn.
Is there objection to bringing up the next item on today's calendar pending satisfaction of the call of the House on Senate Bill 796? Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Senate Bill number 816, entitled, An Act Continuing the Existence of the Real Estate Commission and Providing for an Effective Date. Labor and Management Committee had the bill under consideration, recommended replaced with Labor and Commerce. House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 816, entitled, An Act Continuing the Existence of the Real Estate Commission and Amending the Statutes Relating to the Commission's Responsibilities and the Real Estate Surety Fund and Providing for an Effective Date. Finance also had the bill under consideration, recommended replaced with Labor and Commerce. House Committee substitute for
Did
the
you read
bill.
The report of the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute?
Yes, I did.
Thank you. Excuse me.
And the Finance Committee recommended that that bill be replaced with Labor and Commerce House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 816, and that it do pass. There is a fiscal note in Supplement 51. The do pass was signed by Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Hagen, Bettysworth, Cotton, Meekins, Fuller, and Montgomery. Hurlburt had no recommendation.
Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Labor and Commerce Committee substitute be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House Labor and Commerce Committee substitute is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Are there amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Malone.
Speaker, probably should have asked this question on the previous motion was pending, but in Section 4 of the House Committee substitute bill, prohibited conduct is repealed and reenacted to read. What were the changes that were made by the committee in that section of the law or proposed to make in that section?
Representative Martin, can you answer that?
I really can't at this time, sir. It's been so long since I've seen this bill. actually, what has been done here is recommendations have been followed by the Real Estate Commission itself, and we had this bill previously before the body as a House bill, but the Senate bill got over to us sooner, so that's the reason why it's before us now. Digging in my mind, I just can't recall what had been repealed at amended at this moment, sir, but just was the recommendation of the Real Estate Board.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, specifically, does a real estate Is a real estate license or a broker's license required now in order to accept any kind of fee, finder's fee, or anything like that? Can you now take any commission?
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, yes, such a permit is required now. I'm trying to remember, and the copy of Title 8 is, as usual, missing over here, so I can't get it. I recall, all I can remember from committee is that whatever the changes were, they weren't terribly controversial in committee. But other than that, I can't help you.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I do have the missing copy of Title 8 over here, I guess, and I apologize to the previous speaker for getting a hold of the copy before he had a chance to look at it. But, Mr. Speaker, in Section 4 of the bill, which repeals and reenacts 088-401 prohibited conduct, I haven't had a chance to review all the changes in the bill, and maybe they're all okay. One of the changes appears to be that one of the things that's been removed from prohibited conduct is some language that deals with knowingly authorizing, directing, or aiding in the publication of, well, let me read the sections in the current law that seem to be replaced by subsection C in the bill at present under 088-401, subsection C on page 3 of the bill. It reads, as you see it in the bill, in the current law, it appears to read, no person may knowingly authorize, direct, or aid in the publication of false statement or misrepresentation concerning land or a subdivision or other real estate offer, sale, or lease. Two, no person may, with knowledge in an advertisement, pamphlet, or letter concerning land or subdivision or other real estate, contains a written statement that is false or fraudulent, issue, circulate, publish, or distribute it, or cause it to be issued, circulated, published, or distributed. And it's replaced by the language in the new subsection C, which says a person may not knowingly make, authorize, direct, or aid in the publication of a false statement or misrepresentation, et cetera. I don't know if it covers all the same things offhand. It doesn't seem to be as extensive as what's in the current law. Perhaps some other member of the committee could comment on that.
Representative Martin.
Well, before I comment on that, sir, I wanted to mention that it looks like we do have a typo error here, in that that should be Section 5 instead of Section 4. When the gentleman first proposed his question, I was going over Section 4, and then I realized that it's obviously on line 15. It should be Section 5 of this bill. So. In the review of the bill with the representative from the Real Estate Commission, in some section here, they wanted to change language to make it clearer for the purpose of the Real Estate Commission and its members. If the same intent is in there in subsection C, as the representative just read off from the statute presently, I would assume that the intent that they wanted was is being met here in this bill.
I'll ask the clerk to note the error on line 15, page 2, and that can be taken care of in enrolling and engrossing. There are no amendments, and we have before us the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute, House Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for Senate Bill 816 in second reading. Representative Brown.
Speaker, the question asked by the member from Kenai is one that could be substantive. I'm not going to offer an amendment at this time, but we'll reconsider this bill if it passes, and I'm going to contact I think he's still the chairman of that, or he's the immediate past chair of the Real Estate Commission, who lives here in Juneau, between now and tomorrow, and try to reconstruct what was going on, at least on the first reading of the section of the law that is being changed here by the member of the Kenai. It looks like there's something being deleted that is an improper conduct defined in this section. It still should be, under the law, improper conduct. If that's the case, then unless there's someone else has found some more materials on it, we may be offering an amendment to go back second reading tomorrow on reconsideration.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've had enough time to look it over. I think I can explain the difference now. What appears in the bill in the current law. What appears in the bill is a prohibition against authorizing, directing, or aiding in the publication of false statements or misrepresentation. What would be deleted then in the current law from the law, if this were adopted, would be a prohibition against circulating and distributing these false statements or publications. The law would limit the prohibited conduct to aiding it would limit it to making a false statement, authorizing one, directing one, or aiding in the publication of one, but eliminate from the law a prohibition against circulating it or somehow causing it to be issued. I would think that it's probably not a substantial change in the law. It's pretty clear that what's in the law would prohibit making or publishing fraudulent statements regarding property. So my question, I guess, is answered.
Representative Clarkson.
Well, Mr. Speaker, during this discussion, I have tried to compare Section 401 with the bill as well. I see at least three changes which potentially can be substantial. I'm not as convinced as the prior speaker that the first one is not substantial. I think the effect of that is to eliminate any responsibility or liability of someone who would publish, who would knowingly publish false information. That's what the existing law prohibits. That prohibition is apparently repealed. The second one is that the present law says that you may not call yourself a realtor if you are not a realtor. That is replaced by subsection A of section 401 starting on page 2, line 16, and that may or may not be substantial. It's certainly much broader than simply a prohibition on using the term realtor. Thirdly, and potentially most important, the B1 would prohibit a person who is not covered by this act from accepting fees or commissions for performance of acts which are covered by this. That, in effect, is prohibiting people from participating in real estate situations unless they are have a license as required by this chapter. Mr. Speaker, in the past we've argued about similar provisions to this in the statutes with regard to attorneys and paralegals. I don't have the answer. I don't know what some of the acts may be for which a license is required, and I don't know if we're perhaps potential that there's substantial revisions in this section. However, I sort of agree with the minority leader. Maybe we can go ahead now, check it overnight, Fine. And come back and change it if there are some policy questions that need changes.
Is there further debate in second reading? Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for Senate Bill 816 be considered engrossed, advanced third reading, placed in final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 816, Labor and Commerce, entitled An Act Continuing the Existence of the Real Estate Commission and Amending the Statutes Relating to the Commission's Responsibilities and the Real Estate Surety Fund and in Providing for an Effective Date.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for Senate Bill 816 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Representative Martin, would you vote, please? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Representative Zaroff? Representative Zaroff from no to yes. Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 32 yeas, 5 nays.
House Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for Senate Bill 816 has passed the House. Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call and final passage of House Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for Senate Bill 816 be considered the roll call and the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Brown.
Speaker, I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration on my vote on House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 816.
Notice of reconsideration has been served by Representative Brown on Senate Bill 816. This brings us back to the House Resources Committee substitute for committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 796. I believe the call has been satisfied to bring the members up to date. There was a final vote on this bill in third reading. But I noted immediately after the vote that there was a lack of 30 people on the floor at the time of the advancement motion. So my ruling is that the passage is invalid, and of course that the advancement motion from second to third reading was invalid. So at this time, I'll ask Representative Halford to restate his motion to advance from second to third reading, and I do note that all members are present with the exception of Representative Cuddy, Representative Smith, and Representative Barnes. Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Resources Committee substitute for committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 796 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Committee substitute for committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 796, entitled An Act Providing for the Management of State-Owned Land in the Haines Area, Establishing the Alaska Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve in the Haines State Forest Resource Management Area, and Providing for an Effective Date.
Are you ready for the question? I might, just to be certain it was clear, I restated my ruling, which was a previous ruling prior to the action on the past bill. I'm just restating my ruling that the past action was invalid. Representative Freeman, do you wish the floor?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, during the interim here, I have no desire to vote against anybody's bill without really understanding what I'm doing. And during the interim period here, I've been, since we were under call and I couldn't go out and talk to people, I've been sending notes back and forth. And first one came back, I asked the question, where does the 47,000 acres come from? And the answer I got was all river bottom and drainage. So I tried again, and I said, where does the title or entitlement for the 47,000 acres come from? And is this additional land provided by the Secretary of Interior from the federal land for a specific purpose of providing an eagle preserve? Or is the land that the state is entitled to select under Section 6A of the Statehood Act? And the other question was, if it is state-owned land, how or under what provisions of the law did did the state gain title? And the first question, answer came back in when I said, where does it come from? It just says it's now state-owned. The other one is the additional land provided for the Secretary of the State, which they'd referred to in a former note, provided for the specific purpose? The answer is no. And my question is, the land the state entitled to select under Section 6A of the Statehood Act? The answer says it's already state-owned. And the other question, if the state owned land, how or under what provisions of the law did we, the state, gain title? And it says we have title. Mr. Speaker, nobody has answered my question, and I would like to know if there's somebody here. I want to know out of what pot or what pocket the 47,000 acres come. If this is land that the federal, additional land that the federal government is giving us to provide an Eagle Preserve, I have no problems. But if it's coming out of the Section 6A entitlement, I want to know it. And somebody in here, I think, considering the fact that 47,000 acres rounded off at 50,000 out of 250, you don't have to be a genius to figure out the percentage. And if there's somebody in here that could tell me and explain to me in simple English where the land comes from that we're going to give to the Eagles, I would like to know what it is before I vote on this bill again.
Representative Fanning?
Comes from the 104.5 million acres of state entitlement, and that is separate from the 400,000 acres that the state was additionally allowed to select from Forest Service lands.
Representative Freeman?
May I pursue that? How did the 47,000 acres of land get into the National Forest if it doesn't come under the entitlement?
Representative Fanning?
The answer is that it's not and that it never was.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Bettesworth?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Many members of the body have had a lot of jokes and a lot of comments, pro and con, about the Eagles. And I first got involved in this subject in the winter 3 years ago when we got stranded in Haines because of a snowstorm in the pass, and got acquainted with a gentleman from Haines and first got acquainted with the subject. And since then, those particular gentlemen have taken a lot of ribbing from me. But I'd like to stand and speak briefly in favor of the passage of this bill. In total, there is involved in the Haines area of about 250,000 acres that were selected by the state of Alaska because of its valuable timber reserves. Schnabel Lumber Company started harvesting this timber to create an economy for the community of Haines a number of years ago. Then we started getting some imports from outside who suddenly decided they wanted to lock up a portion of our state, and hence started the controversy over the Eagle Preserve. This is a compromise position between the environmentalists, the Audubon Society, Friends of the Earth, and so forth, to preserve the eagles and give the community of Haines the opportunity to harvest valuable state timber resources before they get too old and deteriorated and are not worth anything anymore. This is what the state is all about, is to create an economy. We can't tie up thousands of acres of valuable timber. And as Representative Freeman said, the 47,000 acres are principally the gravel bars, river flats, floodplain of the Chilcat River. Any of you who have driven the 50 or 60 miles from Haines up the valley toward the pass, it's basically meandering, flat river bottom. This is the area where the land is selected for the Eagle Reserve. This is the area that you see the eagles sitting in the cottonwood trees along the river bars. And this is the area that we want to preserve from human encroachment to protect the eagles. This is a compromise between habitat, fisheries habitat, not just eagles, the environment, and the commercial interests, both mining and timber. This is the kind of situation that hopefully we will be seeking in other areas of Alaska so we can get on with the business at hand. And I would encourage a positive vote on this bill. Thank you.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, I'll try one more time. And I would like for somebody to answer me. How did the state, under what authority, what provisions did the state select the 47,000 acres? That's all I want to know. I don't think that, and don't give me this, well, we selected it from the Forest Service or any of that, I know better than that. And there's a lot more valuable timber around, scattered around in the Tongass National Forest than you're going to find on the river flats. One time you say we're going to select the land, the state selected it because it was valuable timberland. And then the next breath you say that it's all swamps and river bottoms. I just want to know how we came by it. That's all. It's a simple question. And I haven't gotten an answer yet. And I suspect that's because nobody here knows the answer.
Will the House please stand at ease?
Who observed that there was some 45 million acres of land in private ownership that I had ignored when I made the statement that there was only 1 million acres of land, of state land in private ownership. And I'd like to say that technically he's probably correct in that that land is no longer in government ownership. But that 45 million acres that he speaks about is land that has been transferred from the federal government to the native corporations. They're regional corporations, they're village corporations. And that land, for all practical purposes, is locked up from the individual just as tight as if it was in the hands of the federal government or the state government, or now the municipal government. At least to my knowledge, I don't know of any actions taken by the native corporations to transfer any of that land or to make it available to the individual native Alaskan. It's my observation, and I've said it before on the floor, I believe, here, that the those corporations have made no effort, to my knowledge, to provide that land for the individual native Alaskan, that the lands are locked up in those corporations, and I would predict that they will stay that way until the individual native Alaskans who are members of those corporations, many years from now, vote out the leadership of those corporations and vote in some new leaders who make that land available to them. Land owned by corporations, big corporations, is not land in private ownership, in my observation. Some of these corporations are much bigger than some of the municipalities that we transferred state land to. Some of these regional corporations are much bigger than, many times bigger than individual village corporations. But the point is that they have no plan available, are making no efforts to move that land into private ownership at the present time. And so as far as I'm concerned, it's not land in private ownership. Thank you.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, maybe a little bit off the subject, but in fact, some of that native land is going to private ownership. The major I think the corporation moving the quickest on that is Cook Inlet Region, which has holdings in downtown Anchorage and elsewhere in the Anchorage area, and that's some of the first land that's going out.
Representative Freeman?
Mr. Speaker, I finally got an opportunity to get an answer to the question I had. The 47,000 acres was land that was transferred to the BLM prior to the it has nothing to do with the 400,000 acres that I was interested in. And as far as I'm concerned, if they want to give it to the Eagles, that's okay.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Resources Committee substitute for committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 796 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 29 yeas, 8 nays.
House Resources Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 796 has passed the House. Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent to roll call and final passage of House Resources Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 796 be considered the roll call and the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I would like to give notice of reconsideration of my vote on Senate Bill 796.
Representative Vasca has given notice of reconsideration for his vote on Senate Bill 796. That brings us to the end of today's calendar and to unfinished business. What I'd like to do is deal with some bills that are in the limbo file. There's two or three of them that need to go to conference committee.
Point of order.
Point of order.
Your order. Point of order is well taken. We still have a calendar left. Excuse me.
We just got through the second.
You're absolutely right. I need a motion from the majority leader, Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the bills on today's calendar under reconsideration in third reading be held over for tomorrow's calendar.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Perhaps we could deal with the citations without objection. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
Point of parliamentary inquiry, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, Representative Brown.
Is it your ruling that the motion just made refers to the bills that appear on third reading, the three bills in the second page?
That's right. Senate Bill 299, 874, and 650 will be held over in third reading for tomorrow's calendar. Representative O'Connell. Will the House please stand at ease?
I'd like to see it work.
If the members would take out their limbo file. And get that ready, we will deal with the citations in the meantime. Thanks. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citation honoring Fairbanks Sweet Adelines by Senators Farron, Camp, Bennett and Parr, and Representatives Brown, Moss, and Rogers.
Representative Brown.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the citation.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is adopted. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
Honoring Don McKinnon by Senators Ray and Gilman, Representatives Duncan and Miller.
Representative Miller. I'd like to move the citation.
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the citation be approved.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved. Will clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
In memoriam, Frank G. Johnson, by Senators Zegner, Ray, Eliason, and Fisher, and Representatives Duncan, Freeman, Hagen, Gardner, Grusendorf, and Miller.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, I move the citation. Ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved. Will clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
In memoriam, Leo W. O'Brien, by all members of the Senate, and Representatives Rogers, Brown, and Miller.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, first I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that all members of the House be shown as co-sponsors of this citation.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the citation.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is adopted. This brings us to the end of today's calendar and to unfinished business. If the members will look at their limbo file. Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, before we get to the limbo file, there's a bill under reconsideration I'd like to take up. I'd like to take up the reconsideration of Senate Bill 746 at this time.
Clerk, please read the bill. It's a committee substitute for Senate Bill 746, Finance. It's been held over under reconsideration.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 746, Finance, entitled, An Act Making a Special Appropriation to the Department of Commerce and Economic Development, Office of Mineral Development, for production of a documentary film on Alaska's mining history and potential, making a special appropriation to the Office of the Governor for participation of the Alaska Games Unit in the Arctic Winter Games, and providing for an effective date.
Representative Hofford.
I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for Senate Bill 746 be returned to the Finance Committee.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. There's another item I'd like to deal with while you're looking at your limbo file. Senate Bill 212, which is the bill dealing with the Alaska Railroad Authority. I'd like to add an additional referral to that bill, which would be the Finance Committee. Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, the first bill we're going to deal with on the limbo file was the committee substitute for House Bill 524, Labor and Commerce. At this time, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House concur in Senate amendments to Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for House Bill 524, thus adopting Senate Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 524.
Representative Adams.
I'm going to object to that, Mr. Speaker, as I'd like the members to vote no on that, so that we can go into conference committee, so that the conference committee can look at the ceiling of the interest rates made on loan companies. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House concur in Senate amendments to committee substitute for House Bill 524, Labor and Commerce, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 524, Labor and Commerce? Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I'm torn somewhat on this vote. I guess I'd make an inquiry to the Speaker. If the body refuses to accept the Senate version of this bill, would it be your intent to appoint a conference committee, and would that committee be a conference committee, or would you intend at some later time to make it a free conference committee?
Well, it would be my intent to appoint a conference committee, and then the next step, assuming that the conference committee couldn't resolve their differences, would be to appoint a conference committee with limited powers of free conference, and then failing any reconciliation of the differences, and that with that latitude, I'd have to go to a free conference committee. But it's my intent to this time just to appoint a conference committee. Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House concur in Senate amendments to committee substitute for House Bill 176? Question is, shall the House concur in Senate amendments to committee substitute for House Bill 524, Labor and Commerce, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 524, Labor and Commerce? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Change my vote from yes to no. Representative Meekins? Representative Meekins from yes to no. Representative Abood?
Yes to no.
Representative Abood, yes to no. Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 6 yeas, 26 nays.
This time, I appoint a conference committee consisting of Representative Randolph, chairman, Representative Bilesma, and Representative Brown. Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, the next item we'd like to deal with is House Bill 697. At this time, I move that the House concur in the Senate amendments to Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for House Bill 697, thus adopting Senate Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 697. I recommend the body vote no.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, At the last time we had this before us, I recommended a yes. I recommend a no vote at this time based on the information we got on the local hire section won't work.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, Representative Brown.
You ask the clerk to read the bill, please?
Thank you, Representative Brown. I must be getting tired. Would the clerk please read the bill?
Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 697, Labor and Commerce, entitled An Act Authorizing Preference for Hiring Local Residents for Positions in the State Service and Providing for an Effective Date.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House concur in Senate amendments to Committee Substitute for House Bill 697, Labor and Commerce, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 697, Labor and Commerce. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows one yea, 32 nays.
The House has failed to concur in Senate amendments. This time I'd like to appoint a conference committee consisting of Representative Biles Maturman, Representative Bettesworth, and Representative Grusendorf. Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, the next bill on the list is 590. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House concur in Senate amendments to the Rules Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for House Bill 590, amended, thus adopting Senate Finance Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for House Bill 590, and recommend the body vote yes.
Clerk, please read the bill.
Can't find it. Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for House Bill 590, Rules Amended, Superior Court Judges and Facilities, and providing for an effective date.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House concur in Senate amendments to Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for House Bill 590, Rules Amended, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for House Bill 590, Finance? Members may proceed to vote.